This is a good question. What is sanctification? Sanctification. Sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. Okay, I can see what's going to happen here. Let's just pray real quick. Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Give us a portion from your heart, Lord, from your throne, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. Okay. What does that mean? Sanctify them according to thy word. Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. What is this? What is this? This is a question. It's not a rhetorical. It's a real question. What is this? Yes.
The logo.
The logos? Okay. Holding up my Bible, what is it? What is it, the Bible?
Life.
Life? What else? What is this? You guys?
God's Word to us.
God's Word to us. Anybody else? Is it God's Word? It's God's heart. Certainly we call it the Word of God. But is it God's Word? In 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills. The letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. Is this life? Maybe. Maybe not. It may be life. It may not be life. It may be death. It may be a wicked, evil death. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever heard or something like felt or somebody talked about the Bible and they said something akin to it's a handbook for life? Right, so this is your handbook for Christian living. This is your handbook. Boy, what a terrible statement. That's an evil statement. This is not a handbook. This is most definitely not a handbook. You see, the letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. There is no handbook for life. There is the word of God. But apart from the Spirit of God, it's not the Word of God. Apart from the Spirit of God, it is a sword that the enemy can wield and kill. And it's exactly what he tried when he tempted Christ in the wilderness. He tried to kill. Satan's not afraid of this. Satan likes this. It's a good sword. But he likes it apart from the Spirit of God. What is it to be apart from the Spirit of God? Like, how do you read this? Let's say that you are in a dilemma. This is a little bit practical. Let's say you're in a dilemma or in a circumstance or something happens in your life and you don't have clarity. What do you do with it? Well, I pray. What if you don't get an answer? What if you don't know from the Word of God what to do and you don't get an answer? Or what if you think you get an answer? What do? You run to the heart of God. You run to the heart of God. This Word is not His Word apart from His heart. This Word is not His Word apart from His Spirit. This Word is not His Word apart from the finished work of Christ, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. The last thing that the Lamb said as He was being slain is, "It is finished." And then we began. The finished work is the foundation of the Bible. The Bible is not the Word of God apart from the finished work. It is simply a sword that kills. You see, there are a lot of people who can live perfectly according to this Word. They live perfect lives according to this Word. There's a name for them in the Bible. They're called Pharisees. God is not interested in whether I can live a perfect life according to this Word, because I can't. Plain and simple. And neither can you. I can tell myself that I can because I don't have any outward failures, perhaps. Perhaps I can self-discipline myself to the point where I don't make mistakes like other people make. But you see, the problem with that is that God looks at the heart where man looks at the outward appearance. This was the problem with the Pharisees. They had the outward appearance perfect, but they didn't live in the finished work. They didn't live in the mercy of God. They didn't know the love of God. You see, in John 17:3, in this we know that we have eternal life, that we may know Him. Well, who is He? Well, I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God is love. And he who does not love is not of God. He doesn't know God. If you hate, you have no truth in you. What is hate? The opposite of love. What is love? Patient and kind. What did love do? It sent the Son to the cross. And when the Son went to the cross, that was the love of God who sent Him there. I find my life at the cross. Actually, I find my life because of the cross. Not because of His cross, because of the cross I pick up. You see, I've already been crucified with Christ. It's already happened. I've already been crucified with Christ. Yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. You see, the finished work is the whole deal here, guys. He was in the tomb only 3 days and then He rose again. And we were crucified with Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, He took captivity captive. That means all those who were crucified with Him also rose with Him. And all those who rose with Him were seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God. You see, they have had their sins removed as far as the east is from the west. God remembers those sins no more. Our iniquities have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb in Revelation 1:5. We are as driven snow, even though our sins may be as crimson, yet God has made us as driven snow. Driven snow, you can't see anything. It's just pure. The Philistines removed the lid from the ark. And when they did that, God killed 50,310 of them. Because they removed the lid off the ark. This is what it means to be sanctified unto God. I cannot remove the lid off the ark. Why did he do that? You see, the ark was covered with a lid. And the lid had the mercy seat on it. And the mercy seat was guarded by God's angels. And the only thing that could go on top of the mercy seat was the blood. And you cannot remove the ark and look in unto judgment and live. What is the ark? The ark is the presence of God. The presence of God where? The presence of God around us, yes, but also the presence of God in us. See, God calls us the apple of His eye. He said in Isaiah to Israel as they were in their worst backslidden slate, pursuing all kinds of idols, totally backslidden, God says, "You are precious in my eyes and I have loved you. You have been honorable." He said, "I'll give other lives for yours." Hosea was told to buy Gomer out of the slave market of sin that got her there. And she became a slave because she had left her husband to become a prostitute. And then years later, when she was old and worn, he finds her again. And God said to Hosea, "Buy her back." You see, Hosea didn't lift the ark. He didn't lift the lid. He was sanctified unto God. "I'm sanctified by the truth." The truth is the finished work of Christ. The truth is that He has done it. It is finished. Never to be brought up again. I cannot bring up your mistakes and you cannot bring up mine. Why? Because they have been washed into the blood of the Lamb, and if I am to bring up the mistakes, then I have to lift the lid off of the ark and look into the judgment of God. And if I look into the judgment of God in your life, it's not you that dies, it's me. I can't do that. I have to live in the finished work of Christ. That's why I'm sanctified according to the Word of God, because the Word is truth. See, the letter kills. This Word does not sanctify me. The letter kills. This Word, if it is done apart from the Holy Spirit, is a law. Well, the strength of sin is in the law. Not the strength of life. The strength of sin. Yet believers very easily will take the Word of God and say, this is my handbook for living. And if I follow the guidelines of this handbook, I'll have a good life. Really? Seems the Pharisees followed the guidelines very, very well. They kept all 430 laws. They followed it very, very well. But God said, in you is death. Because you are whitewashed sepulchers. Oh, you clean up the outside of the cup, but the inside is filthy. Because you don't have the mercy and the love and the grace of God. You don't practice God's mercy. What is the practical manifestation of being sanctified unto God? Practicing God's mercy. See, in Romans 4, don't you know that it's the goodness of God? What does the goodness of God mean? The merciful gentleness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not this. This doesn't cause repentance. Oh, it's important. Don't get me wrong. It's important. But it does not cause repentance. It's not a guidebook. What is it? This is my means of getting to know God. As the Holy Spirit leads me. See, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, man shall live by every word, not by every logos, but by every rhema in the original language. Rhema is as the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart as the believer lives in God's Word and is sanctified in the finished work of Christ. Be careful how you handle the Word. It's not a bat and it's not a guidebook. It's not a handbook for living. It's the heart of God. If you want to have God in your life, you must have the finished work. Apart from the finished work, you cannot have God in your life. Why? Because it's the finished work that saved you. It's the finished work that produces God's life in you. I cannot say that I will take this and not give it. Because it's God who does the giving. See, this is why in Luke chapter 6, it says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. This is why it says in Romans 14:4, you stand unto your own master. And stand, you will. You will be caused to stand. This is kind of bringing us into the message. I knew that was going to happen. Let's turn real quick to Romans 14, starting in verse 7. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 4 prior to that, and we just mentioned that, we're going to stand before our own Master. And He's going to cause us to stand because He is going to hold us up. You see, when I stand before God, I stand alone. No one will stand before God with me. If I am married, my spouse will not stand before God with me. If I am young, my friends or my parents will not stand before God with me. No one will stand. My children will not stand before God with me. I stand before God, and I stand before God alone. I stand unto my own master, and he will hold me up. Why will he hold me up? Because in Deuteronomy 33, his arms are beneath me. So he will hold me up. You will not hold me up. He will hold me up. And I will not hold you up. He will hold you up. You see, when we stand before God, we stand alone. But that is not just at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. The original word there is Bema. And we use that distinction because it's not the same connotation as the English word judgment has. It's an evaluation of reward. When we stand before God in our lives, we stand alone. There is no one who can stand with me. Why? Because I stand before God in my heart. My heart is before Him as an open book, and He reads it. And other people may see me and they may judge me according to my appearances. And on a good day, they will say, oh, a good man. And on a bad day, they will say, oh, a bad man. But God looks at my heart. You see, when we stand before God, we stand alone. No one can stand with us. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Who will guide you into all truth? The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. You see, the Word of God is death apart from the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is death apart from the finished work, because the finished work is the truth that the Spirit guides you into. Why? Because it is the entire premise of all of eternity. Yet believers will violate the finished work left and right. They will violate it in their own lives towards themselves. And they will say, oh, I should be better than I am. I have failed, I will be condemned. Well, in 1 John, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. There is no condemnation in Romans 8:1. God is greater than your heart. The Spirit of God will lead you into all truth, and all truth is His finished work, because it is the foundation of truth. It is the very essence and nature of what God has done. This is why when the Philistines opened the ark, it was such a devastating thing to them. 50,310 people killed because they would not live in the finished work. They removed the blood. Oh, I cannot remove the blood of the Lamb. I cannot remove it from myself, and I cannot remove it from you. As I stand before God, I stand covered in the blood of the Lamb. I can't be condemned before God. People may try to condemn me. People will say, oh, you should have known better. People will say, oh, you did wrong. People will say, we got to make sure you don't do it again. You know what? They're in trouble with God. They've just removed the lid from the ark. They've just removed the blood. They have remembered what God has forgotten. Oh, never remember what God has forgotten. He'll call you a liar. And no liar, in Romans chapter 1, no liar will go into heaven. Sure, we may fail. That is a failure too. And so when we fail in that way, we simply repent and say, God, I failed. And He is faithful and just. In 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us when we judge our brother, or when we judge ourselves. You see, I can't lift that ark covering. I can't lift it. It will kill me. It won't kill the one that I lift it towards. It will kill me. In Luke chapter 6, you know what that word forgive and you shall be forgiven, you know what that means? Release from the bondage of sin. And you will be released from the bondage of that same sin. If I don't forgive, I'm living in iniquity. Why? Because it's a violation of the finished work. It's a violation of the blood of the Lamb. If I don't forgive myself, I'm living in iniquity. It is adding sin unto sin. Because it's a violation of the blood of the Lamb. It's a violation of the finished work. If I uncover, it is a violation of the blood of the Lamb. It's a violation of the finished work. You know what the number one covering is in the Word of God? Love. Love covers. Several places in the Bible, love covers. In Proverbs 25, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Where does He conceal it? Under the blood of the Lamb. Love covers. Whatever I did before God, whatever failure, whatever success I may have had, I had it unto God. I did not have it unto any other person. I had it unto God. You see, in 2 Samuel 6, starting in verse 20, when the ark returned to Jerusalem, David danced in just a loincloth, in just a linen, before God. And his wife, Micah, despised him for it. And she ridiculed him for it. And she said, oh, all these young women saw you out there dancing like that. And she said, David, what are you doing? You failed and this is a disgusting, loathsome thing that you did. And David said, I did it unto God. You see, Micah, or Michael, I think was her name, M-I-C-H-A, yeah, Michael. She made this one mistake. She lifted the ark. She touched the ark. I can't touch the ark. I can't lift the cover. It'll kill me. I have to be very careful to be sanctified unto the finished work of Christ. Oh, in my self-righteousness, I may not like that. But you know what? God's not one bit interested in my self-righteousness. God loathes my self-righteousness. Oh, I may be able to live on the outward according to the handbook. But God is looking in my heart to see if His heart and His love is being shed abroad into my heart. See, when I live before God, I live before Him alone. I cannot live before Him with you, and you cannot live before Him with me. I live before Him alone. I stand before Him alone. I fall before Him alone. And I cannot touch the ark in your life if you stand or fall. You are God's and God's alone. Stand before your own master. You'll stand before your own master. And He will make you stand. In Isaiah, now let's go to John first. Howbeit, in verse 13 of chapter 16, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And in verse 14, skipping over, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Who shall do that? The Spirit of God will do that. I cannot show you God's will for your life, and you cannot show me God's will for my life. God shows you His will for your life. God leads you in all truth. A man cannot lead you. God must lead you. See, what happens to a lot of young people is they'll start to rely on people, on personalities, on other believers. Because they have not yet established their own walk with God very clearly. they feel a little bit insecure. I used to be there when I was a new believer. Is this right? Is this wrong? I don't know. How do you live? Well, you live unto God. And although other believers are a covering for us, they are very important to our lives. But you live unto God. And if you make a mistake, then you've made it unto God. And if you've done it right, then you've done it right unto God. But you stand before God alone. And this is how you live. No man can tell you what the Spirit can tell you. But the Spirit will tell you. You see, He leads you in all truth. He leads you in the Word of God. He leads you in all truth. In Isaiah 61, the Word of God says, "But you shall be named priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves." And in 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And the things are of God, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us a ministry of reconciliation." What happens when the Holy Spirit leads me in all truth? Where will He take me? He'll take me to the cross. Where does the cross take me? The cross takes me to the finished work. Where does the finished work take me? The finished work takes me into a ministry of reconciliation. And I am a believer priest unto God. We are all believer priests unto God. We stand before our own Father. We do not stand before anyone else. We stand before our Father. And ultimately, even as young people, although you are accountable to your parents, you will stand before your Father. And what does that mean, that you are accountable to your parents? That they will treat you with the finished work. And you will respond to them in the finished work. You see, we think that we look at life with such a heavy hand. God doesn't do it with a heavy hand. God's loving kindness draws you. God draws you with cords that cannot be broken. That's how He draws you. He doesn't draw you with a heavy hand. Nor can we draw each other with a heavy hand. We become ministers of reconciliation. What does that mean? We become ministers of the finished work of Christ. This is our very purpose on earth, to be ministers of the finished work of Christ. In three different expressions, this is what we are, ministers of the finished work of Christ. In 2 Peter 2:5, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." What is the spiritual sacrifice? It was the blood of the Lamb. We offer up the blood of the Lamb. Let's say that you fail. If I am a Spirit-filled believer, I will come to you, cover you with faith, because the shield of faith was made for two, and the faith will be in the blood of the Lamb. This is what it means to be a minister of reconciliation. This is why I have a believer priesthood. This is why I stand before God alone. So that God can work in my heart and shed His love abroad from my heart to yours. See, this is the essence of the finished work. This is the essence of a life with God. In 1 Samuel 15:22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams." What is it to be obedient to God? Well, I have to follow the Ten Commandments, and I really have to make sure everything is just so. Really? Oh, you think your Bible is a handbook, do you? No, it is the heart of God. It's not a handbook. It's the heart of God. To obey is to love one another as I have loved you. Be merciful as I have been merciful. Love one another as I have loved you. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. This is what it means to obey. Apply the finished work as it's been applied to you. You see, this is the life of the believer priest. This is the life of the person who is hearing for themselves from God. You know what happens too much in most churches, many, not all, thank God? The Bible is just another handbook. It's not a book of the finished work, and it's not a book of the heart of God. It's just another handbook. No. The heart of God is the finished work. Don't violate. Don't violate the heart of God. Receive it for yourself, and then give it. Receive love from God, and then give it. You see, you will not have, mark my words, you will not have the love of God in your life if you cannot receive it and give it. You will not have God in your life. Oh, you may have religion, but you won't have God. Ephesians chapter 2, you will not have God in your life if you cannot receive love and give it. Oh, to live in the finished work before God as a believer priest, known to God in the heart, to know that you're loved by Him and that you're forgiven and that He loves you and He's merciful toward you. This is how we walk with God. This is how we stand at the Bema Seat. What do you think you will be evaluated on at the Bema Seat? How well you did? How many failures you've had? Not one will be brought up. How did you respond to the finished work? How did you respond to the love of God? How did you respond to God's mercy? How did you respond to God's heart? This will be your evaluation. You see, this is why the Pharisee, when he prayed, he prayed unto himself, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I have the outward perfect God. And he prayed. God did not even hear him. God did not hear his prayer. And you know what? Apart from the finished work, God will not hear my prayer either. Why do I say that? When you stand praying, forgive, so that my prayer might be heard. That's why I am separated from Him in practical, experiential ways if my forgiveness is not there, if the finished work is not the foundation of my life. If that finished work is not the foundation of my relationships, I will not be heard by God. He says so. He will oppose my life. What do I mean by opposing it? He will not allow me to experience His blessings. In my family, He will not allow me to be blessed. In my job or at school or whatever I do, in my endeavors, He will not allow it to be blessed unless I live in the finished work. Why? Because I live apart from His presence. The ark of God is not there. It's covered in the blood and it's topped with the seat of mercy. The finished work, folks. I live before God and I have the ability to walk with Him because of the finished work. Oh, no man can tell me where the Holy Spirit is leading me. No man can tell me what I should do in my life. No man can tell me my call. The Holy Spirit tells me my call, but He tells me that call because of the finished work. And if I am not living in that finished work, then I am not hearing from the Spirit of God. I like what Pastor Schaller once said. Pastor Schaller is the pastor of our church. It's a big international ministry. He's a very seasoned missionary. 35 years as a missionary pastor. And he said this. And I have to demonstrate it, but this is his thought. But it's a good thought, and I think it bears repeating because it's an important concept to understand. Believers want to stand before God like so. You know what that is? That's flesh. That's natural reasoning and human evaluation of the subjective mind. You know how you stand before God? Like so. Ah, really? Really? This is how you stand before God. On one foot, teetering. Why? You see, the Spirit of God blows like the wind where He will. I don't have the mind of God. I don't have the mind of God. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. I cannot comprehend His mind. Why? Because He is God and I am man. I'm made of dust. He is eternal. I don't know His thoughts, so I stand before Him and God and say, God, here am I. As He says, Samuel, Samuel, here am I. And maybe I don't even know His voice, but He will not stop calling until I respond to Him and say, here am I, Lord. You see, I don't know my ways. It's not for a man to know his ways. What is it then for a man to hear the Spirit of God speaking to his heart as He leads him into all truth? I cannot stand with 2 feet on the ground and my arms crossed and I feel very safe and sturdy. You're feeling safe and sturdy in the arm of the flesh. God does not make me feel safe and sturdy. Why? Because His strength is made perfect only in my weakness, not in my strength. And He will not allow me to feel strong and sturdy. And if I feel strong and sturdy, then it is apart from Him, because I have evaluated with a natural mind of a man whose mind is corrupt. Oh, it doesn't work that way. I stand before God alone, and He whispers into my ears, this is the way, walk ye in it. And other people may try to whisper in my ears, but He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And what is that way? It is the way of the finished work. It is the way of being ministers of reconciliation. It is the way of mercy and truth. That is the way that I walk in. You see, in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. He has not made us able ministers of the law. He has made us able ministers of the blood. We are able ministers of the New Testament. If I am hearing from God as a believer priest standing before Him, this is what my life will enter into. Whether or not I realize what I'm doing, whether no matter what the details of my life are, maybe I'm a missionary or maybe I'm a mechanic, it doesn't really matter. If I am hearing from God, I become an able minister of the New Testament, a minister of the blood of the Lamb, a minister of reconciliation of the finished work. No man can give that to me. God gives that to me. But if I'm having fellowship with the Spirit of God, this is where He leads me, into the finished work of Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and as a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And in verse 3, in the A part of the verse, neither being lords over God's heritage. You see, I must stand before God. I cannot even depend on my pastors to stand with me. I cannot depend on my parents to stand with me. I cannot depend on my friends to stand with me. I must stand before God. And the people that God brings into my life bring me into an edification, bring me into a place where they build my life. It is the body of Christ. Oh, the body is not perfect, but the head is. And the life of the head flowing through the body will be the life of the finished work. See, we talk about having a relationship with God, but do we really have one? I'll tell you one thing. If our relationship with God is apart from the finished work, we don't have any relationship at all. Learn to love the finished work more than anything in your life. Why? Very simple. You may not have failed yet, but I'll guarantee you, you will. Your turn is coming. You see, all have sinned in Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My turn is coming. And it's coming to where I will need the finished work, and I will need the blood of Christ, and I will need His mercy, and I will need His forgiveness. It is coming. That is one thing that I can guarantee every single person in this room. And when I do, I apply the blood of the Lamb. When I fail, and I will, and so will you, and if you think you won't, then you're deceived. Because any man who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. I will fail, and so will you. And it's set up in your path as part of the plan of God. Not that God's will is your failure, but within the plan of God is your failure. And if you can't orient yourself to the finished work of Christ when you fail, then you don't know Him. Learn the finished work. Learn the finished work. If you can't orient yourself to the finished work of Christ when someone else fails, you don't know Him. Learn the finished work. You see, we have all sinned. You see, the Word of God says, if God should mark iniquity, who would stand? You know what happens to believers? They mark iniquity. Forgetting all along that they themselves have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So they mark iniquity. In Proverbs chapter 6, you know what God hates? He hates discord. He hates when believers don't apply the finished work to each other. He hates discord. He hates it more than that filthy, vile adultery. He hates it more than filthy, vile murder and drug abuse and kidnapping and all the vile things that people do. That discord. Be careful for that one. Believers are notorious for it. They like that finger, you. You know what they try to do? They try to steady the ark. Well, you see, I've got to put you on the 12-step program to recovery from your mistakes. Oh yeah, study that ark. Study what God is doing. You see, another person's life does not belong to a man. Another person's life belongs to God. I cannot violate your believer priesthood, not even when you fail. And you cannot violate mine, not even when I fail. Why? Because we have been bought with a price. We have been purchased by one who loves us. We have been bought by one who was so in love with us that he was willing to give the only son he had. We cannot violate that. We are God's. Don't touch what belongs to God. As I found the hard way, you don't study the ark. The ark is not for a man to study. The ark belongs to God. Oh, don't mess with the finished work, folks. It is God's way of doing things. It is God's heart. It is the foundation of how God deals with you. Don't mess with the finished work. Be a believer priest that's a priest of reconciliation. Don't mess with the finished work. In Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusteth in men and maketh flesh his arm. Why? Because his heart will depart from the Lord. You see, I cannot depend on your arm, and I cannot depend on my own arm. You see what happens if I depend on my own strength? Then my heart will depart from the Lord. Why? Because I will become self-righteous. And even if I manage to use the handbook well, I will have totally missed the heart of God. You cannot depend on my arm because I am just a man. And I cannot depend on yours because you are the same. And if I try to, my heart will depart from the Lord. But the Spirit of God leads me into all truth. Oh, we love the Spirit of God. We live by the Spirit of God. He is our life. See, if you obey my voice indeed, in Exodus 19, and verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, what is the covenant? It's the finished work. It's the blood of the Lamb. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You want to be a believer priest who knows how to walk with God? You want to live in the presence of God? Obey the covenant. What is the covenant? You see, the greatest of them, what was it? Matthew 22, and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And the law there speaks of Torah, not of the law, the Mosaic law, but the Word of God. Which is the greatest law? Which is the greatest commandment in the Word of God? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Oh, but Christians get the rest of the law just so, but they fail that one that means everything. They fail that one for which the Ephesians lost the presence of God. They fail the love of God because they fail the finished work. I find it curious that there are only two unforgivable things. One is blasphemy of the Spirit. One is failure to forgive, which is a failure of the finished work. Those two people will never be forgiven. That's a terrible thing, to fail the finished work of Christ. That's a terrible thing. Oh, I forgive, but I won't forget it. Then you haven't forgiven because God forgets and He calls you a liar. There is no such thing as forgiving apart from forgetting. There is no such thing as the finished work apart from the covering. Oh, but Christians won't do that. You know why? They try to study the ark. And as they try to study it, it doesn't become death to anyone but themselves. You can't study the ark of God. You trust God for people's lives. It's one of the things, our founding pastor, Pastor Stevens, and then won about 20 million people to Christ. Approximately. Planted churches all over the world. One of the most persecuted Americans there was. Why? Because of the love of God. One thing that he always did, he trusted grace for people's lives. Why? Because he refused to study the ark. That was his thing. You want to know how to get along with people? Trust grace for their lives. And you study the ark and you don't trust grace and it costs you your life. Trust grace for people's lives. You've got to live in the finished work. You're a believer priest unto God. You walk before God alone. You trust grace. And you trust it for your life. And you trust it for the lives of others. Because they are believer priests also. See, unto your own master you'll stand or fall. And stand you will. You have a master. I am not your master and you are not mine. But we both have the same master. And what did Jesus say regarding believers in John? John was the greatest man born among women, but the least of all the New Testament believers is greater than John. Finished work. John was an Old Testament prophet, but we have a New Testament relationship with Christ. We have a finished work relationship. You walk before God in your finished work relationship to God, and you will get to know Him. You see, you cannot walk according to the handbook. It isn't one. It was never intended to be. John 17:3, by this we know that we have eternal life, that we should know Him. Well, I don't use this as a handbook. And I don't use it as a battering ram. And I don't use it in your life. I use it in mine. Oh, it's a sword, but it's not a sword against my brother. It's a sword against the enemy. It's a sword that cleaves my heart. And it cleaves my joints and my marrow. And I don't cleave yours. God does that. See, you stand or fall before God, and stand you will. You live your life before God, and God will make you stand. Have a relationship with the finished work. Have a relationship with your Bible. Yes, you need a relationship with your pastor. Yes, you need a relationship with the Word of God also. Yes, you need a relationship with the body of Christ, but you need a relationship with the Word of God also. This must not be neglected. If I neglect this, then I neglect that which gives me eternal life. I neglect that which allows me to know Him. I have to have that relationship. I have to know His heart. And by the way, if you're ever unsure of what is in this book, run to the heart of God. You don't run to the letter of the law. That will kill you. You run to the heart of God. And then you will have clarity in His Word. Apart from that, apart from the finished work, you don't even have His word. Why? Because my word is truth. Sanctify him according to thy word. Thy word is truth. What was the word of God? Well, we said this before. If you were to summarize the Bible in one sentence, could you do it? God is love. This is God's love letter. This is God's letter to us to reveal His heart towards us. This is His love letter. It's not a bat. It's not a handbook. It's a love letter that reveals His heart. Amen.